How many of you remember the Jetsons? Anybody? Yeah? Thanks to cable TV, our kids now remember the Jetsons as well. And the thing was always the better tomorrow. You know, when the time comes in the future days, we're going to have a better tomorrow because everything will be automatic, everything will be easier, life will be easier. But if you look at it, we've got that today, right? I mean, we've got the dishwashers. We've got the bread makers. We've got the washing machines, the dryers in our homes. We've got pretty much anything that can be automated and mechanized, we've had it made. Not too far down the road, they predicted we will actually have robots in our home that will be able to serve us. And yet, has the suicide rate gone down in our country? Has the depression rate gone down in our country? Has the divorce rate gone down in our country? I'm here to tell you that easier is not what's going to make us happier. What I believe God's plan is that we find peace, love, and joy in Him and in relationships with each other. And as we apply His principles to our lives, as we seek His wisdom and we live that out, that's when we'll find the things that our very hearts are looking for. And that is those solid relationships, that peace in our life and that joy that comes. Well, it doesn't mean that if you follow Christ, though, that all the problems are going to go away. Because there's wasp in life. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you ever been stung by a wasp? Well, there's wasp in life. And I'll tell you that story because in my life group this week, I asked them, I said, have you ever had a car crash? Do you have a good car crash story? And each one of us kind of shared some good car crash stories. And then one of the guys in our group, his wife goes, "Oh, honey, you got to tell him the Dairy Queen story." And I got permission to share the story. And the husband said to her, he said, "No, I was hiding that one." She said, "Oh, but you've got to tell the Dairy Queen story." And he's like, "Well, I guess I will now." So just recently, he was going through the drive-thru at Dairy Queen, and he had the window down so he could give his order. He was said it was a warm day. He was wearing shorts. And next thing you know, this wasp comes in his window. And you know how it is with a wasp. Somehow your brain shuts everything else off. And all you can think of is kill the wasp, right? So he said the wasp came in. And I guess he wanted a nice, cool, dark spot to find. And so he found the guy's shorts. And he said in the moment, he said, all of a sudden, he said, "I just lost it all." And I start trying to kill the wasp. Next thing I know, my foot is off the brake pedal, on the gas pedal, and I had a major accident in the Dairy Queen drive-thru. Try explaining that one to the insurance company, right? So you totaled your car in Dairy Queen drive-thru? How do you do that? Well, there was a wasp, right? And so as we're going through this better tomorrow, please understand, I'm not trying to sell you on some health and wealth propaganda that everything will always be perfect and easy if you follow Jesus, because it's not true. There are still wasps in the world. There are still things that will come against us, some in the natural and some in the supernatural. Some things that I believe we ascribe to the natural, sometimes I believe those are temptations and the devil trying to tear us down. And then sometimes I think we give the devil way too much credit and we try to blame him for things that are just poor decisions on our own part. So we're going to look at how we can live lives of wisdom, make decisions that are wise, that we can pass down to our kids, our grandkids, and help them make better decisions as well. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and open with me to 1 Kings. We're going to look at a guy named Rehoboam today. If you don't have a Bible of your own, there's a burgundy Bible on the seat in front of you or beside you. And 1 Kings is a book that talks about the kings of Israel. And it gives the stories of their lives and things we can learn from them. And we're going to tie it in with Proverbs because we're still learning and going through the book of Proverbs as well. So we're going to tie the 1 Kings into Proverbs today. Now, the background on this story is that Israel's favorite king, David, had died, and he left the kingdom to Solomon. Now, David was the warrior king. He had given them protection, and he had conquered his enemies, and, And Solomon was the prosperity king. He had built great things and he had established great trade routes, and Israel had become profitable, and Solomon was known for his wisdom. But later in his life, he kind of lost his way. And later in his life, Solomon began to misuse the people in his kingdom for his own personal benefit. And the people were getting angry. The taxes were being raised, the labor was being increased. And instead of the king being seen as a benevolent, generous king, he was beginning to be seen more as a tyrant. So now Solomon dies. His son Rehoboam is supposed to be the next one in charge. But God's already warned Jeroboam, another individual, that God was going to take the kingdom away if changes don't happen. So we're going to pick it up here in 1 Kings 12, where Rehoboam is supposed to be made king, and others are coming beside him saying, "We will follow you if you'll be a good king." That's where we pick up, starting in 1 Kings 12, verse 1. Rehoboam went to Shechem, where all Israel had gathered to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard about this, he returned from Egypt, for he had fled to Egypt to escape King Solomon. The leaders of Israel summoned him, and Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel went to speak with Rehoboam. "Your father was a hard master," they said. "Lighten the harsh labor demands and heavy taxes that your father imposed on us. Then we will be your loyal servants." Rehoboam replied, "Give me 3 days to think this over. Then come back for my answer." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam discussed the matter with his older men who had counseled his father, Solomon. "What is your advice?" he asked. "How should I answer these people?" The older counselors replied, "If you are willing to be a servant to these people today and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your loyal servants." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to speak to us this morning. Lord, we come before you this morning and we humble ourselves. We know we don't have all the answers, but sometimes we sure do act like we do. I pray, God, today that our hearts would be open and that you would move in our hearts to want to listen to your wisdom and follow. Thanks, God, for the promises and the gifts that you offer us. And I pray that you would speak to all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have your programs, they hand you when you come in, there's a listening guide in there. And we'll walk you through the listening guide and just a way for you to remember what we teach on. The first thing I want to say, the first point is seek the advice of wise people in their decisions. Seek the advice of wise people. Rehoboam did this. Rehoboam hit the mark on this. He starts out in this situation going to the wise counselors of his dad saying, "What should I do? What do you guys think is the best decision here?" And they gave him some good advice. They gave him advice that if he had followed that, he would have continued to be the king of all of Israel. Now see, Israel's like America. America's got 50 states. Israel had 12. And basically, most of them left at this point and left him with one. And so Rehoboam did the right thing. In the beginning, he went to those wise leaders and he sought their wisdom. So my first question to you is, when you're going through a difficult situation, do you seek the wisdom of wise people? Who do you have in your life that you trust their leadership and their wisdom? You need to have those people in your life. If you don't, you need to find those people for your life. When it comes to marriage, who do you go and ask for advice? Do you ask somebody that's been married 55 years? Or do you ask your buddy at the bar who's on number 8, right? Who do you ask? When you're asking somebody about life choices, do you ask somebody that's made good life choices and you can see they have peace and joy in their life? Or do you see someone who leaves trouble behind them wherever they go because they made poor choice after poor choice? Rehoboam started in the right place. He started by asking the wise counselors. But then he doesn't finish that way. He ends up going a different direction. Proverbs 11:14, It'll be on the screen. It says this: without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advisors. If you're a boss, if you're a grandparent, if you're an employee, if you're a student, all of us need wisdom in life. Where do you go to find your wisdom? Who do you talk to seek out wisdom? Proverbs 15:22 says this: plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. Now, I would say to you, the first primary advisor to me is the Word of God, the Bible. I start here because I know that God's Word has shared wisdom for over 2,000 years. But then some things just aren't in there specifically, right? Should you go to college at Tennessee Tech or MTSU? Should you take the job A here in town, or should you take job B in Nashville? As you're wrestling with those questions, there's no scripture in here that says, don't ever go to MTSU. Maybe there should be, I don't know. But there's not one, okay? So you have to pray and ask the Lord for wisdom, and you have to go to the Word for wisdom, and you need to seek out wise counselors and ask them what their wisdom is in that situation. So I don't think we hold our gray hairs in as much esteem as we need to. I think today we tend to look too much at pop culture and what is popular for wisdom instead of those that have lived on this earth 60, 70, 80 years. I'm grateful I've got a couple of seniors in my life that they've lived it long and they've seen a lot. And I can call on them for wisdom and say, what do you think about this? I just want to encourage you. Respect, revere, and seek wisdom from those older than yourself. I think it's a lost art in our country that we need to find again. Well, second thing I want to challenge you is to seek God's advice in prayer. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped one. Sorry. Number two, listen to the advice of the wise. Don't miss that one. Listen, okay? So the first thing Rehoboam does is he seeks the advice, but then he turns around and he rejects the advice. Turn back with me to chapter 8, and we're going to pick up in verse 8. Excuse me, chapter 12, verse 8 of 1 Kings. So 1 Kings 12, 8. So Rehoboam hears the advice, and then this is his response. But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the older men, and instead asked the opinion of the young men who had grown up with him and were now his advisors. What is your advice, he asked them. How should I answer these people who want me to lighten the burdens imposed by my father? The young men replied, this is what you should tell those complainers who want a lighter burden. My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Yes, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions. 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to hear Rehoboam's decision, just as the king had ordered. But Rehoboam spoke harshly to the people, for he rejected the advice of the older counselors and followed the counsel of his younger advisors. He told the people, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions. So the king paid no attention to the people. This turn of events was the will of the Lord, for fulfilled the Lord's message to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through the prophet Ahijah from Shiloh. When all the people of Israel realized that the king had refused to listen to them, they responded, down with the dynasty of David. We have no interest in the son of Jesse. Back to your homes, O Israel. Look out for your own house, O David. So the people of Israel returned home. So Rehoboam had the chance. He had the chance to be the king over all these people. And instead of listening to wisdom, he listened to the people who would tell them what he wanted to hear. You ever done that? You ever known what was right to do, so you went seeking somebody that would tell you what you wanted to do? And then you said, well, I did seek advice. I've done that before. As we were talking about the crashes that we've had in our life group, it got around to me. And the one I thought of immediately was the one where I chose to reject wisdom. I was 23. I was headed out to seminary with my buddy. And I had a 68 Camaro, and he had like a 99 Nissan Sentra. And I had this great idea. I said, look, let's save gas money, and let's be able to talk to each other the whole way. I'll put a trailer hitch on my car, and I'll tow you all the way out there. He thought that was a good idea. He didn't want to be bored for 3,000 miles either. So I called my dad. I said, Dad, I said, I want to put a trailer hitch on my Camaro and tow my buddy out to California. My dad's response was, son, that's not a good idea. That car doesn't have enough tail weight to tow another vehicle that far. You're going to have a crash. I said, Dad, come on. This is me. I got this. And of course, he disagreed again. And I said, Dad, can you just tell me somebody that can put a trailer hitch on my car? I'm 23 years old. I'm old enough to make my own decisions. So he relented, gave me a phone number, and I went and got a trailer hitch on my car. So we think we're going to head out the next morning to California. I go by U-Haul, and I say, hey, I'd like to rent a tow dolly. They start asking questions. How annoying. They're like, what vehicle are you going to use to tow this car? I said, a 68 Camaro. I got a trailer hitch on it. They're like, well, looking at our books, you don't have enough tail weight on that car to tow another vehicle. We won't rent the tow dolly to you. I'm like, you people, what is your problem? Don't you want to make any money? So I go to what every smart 23-year-old does. I go to another U-Haul dealership. And I ask the same question again. And guess what? They gave me the same answer. Obviously, there are two U-Haul dealerships that didn't know anything about my driving expertise. So what did I do next? I went to a third U-Haul dealership, gave them the same spiel, and they gave me the same spiel. Well, by this time, I should be catching a clue. My dad, three people. No. I asked the guy, I said, sir, is there anybody in this town that wants to rent a tow dolly to somebody? What I should have said, is there anybody that, you know, is willing to rent to a fool? And he said, these were his words, and they haunt me to this day. If this should not have been the sign from God, I don't know what was. He literally said to me, he said, well, there's a guy 3 miles down with the gas station. He'll rent anything because all he cares about is money. I said, that's my guy. Finally, somebody who understands. So I went down to the gas station, and sure enough, he asked me what I was doing. I told him he rented me the tow dolly. And thankfully, God in his mercy prompted me to take the insurance. And so I did. I paid the extra for the insurance on the vehicles, and off we went. Have you ever towed anything before? Have you ever towed anything that was as heavy as the vehicle you're driving? And all of a sudden you feel the tail end of your car begin to swerve from side to side. Kind of gets this right in the pit of your stomach, makes you want to throw up, you know what I'm saying? So I got to Arkansas, and we're on the interstate just cruising, and the traffic slows down a little bit, and I start to slow down, and I feel that car begin to fly, go from side to side on me. And I said, hold on, John. And I gave it a little gas, and thank the Lord we were able to pull out of it. I was like, yeah, we got this. We got this. For then. Then I get to Arizona. Arizona going down the mountain. They all of a sudden had this great idea that it should go from 2 lanes to 1, and the speed limit should go from 70 to 45 immediately. The problem was the guy in front of me believed that, and he slowed down to 45 immediately, and I didn't have anywhere to go. And all of a sudden, I started feeling the tail of that car slide side to side. And I looked over my buddy John. I said, John, hold on, we're going for a ride. About that time, I see his car starting to pass me, tail end first. I knew it was a bad moment. Sure enough, his car literally swung all the way around, threw my car totally around in a 180 and slammed us against the side of the mountain. We had the windows down, dust is flying in everywhere. It was crazy. I looked down to see if anything was broken, if I was bleeding. I looked over at John, he did the same thing. He wasn't broken or bleeding. The dust kind of settled. He looked over, he just had to know John. He looked over at me and said, "That's kind of fun." Sorry, he was 23 also. So we had to climb out the window to get out of the car. The side was all scratched up. His car was almost totaled. Long story short, three U-Haul dealers and my dad were still not enough to speak wisdom into a heart and mind that wasn't willing to receive it. If you are unwilling to receive wisdom in your life, you will be free to make the stupid choices and pay the stupid tax, right? So I beg you, I implore you today, whether you're 6 or 60, open your heart to wisdom. Seek others' counsel in your life and listen to wise counsel when it is given. It is not a sign of weakness to admit that you don't know everything under the sun. Even the presidents of our countries have had a cabinet to give them wisdom in each area of the government. Even world leaders that have been the greatest ever are those because they're willing to listen to wisdom. And when we choose to reject wisdom, that's when the wasp causes the greatest damage. We're all going to have wasp. But if we choose to listen to wisdom in our life in all areas, then all of a sudden, we've got the Lord protecting us from things like financial arguments because we've overspent again. Marriage arguments because we've crossed boundaries that were unwise. Parenting arguments because our children are following our unwise examples. See what I'm saying? Wisdom. Are you willing to listen? So first we seek the advice. Second, we listen to the wisdom of those before us. And then third, we seek God's advice in prayer. Now, Rehoboam never even tried this. He didn't go to God and ask for wisdom. He went to wise counselors and he went to unwise peers. He didn't seek God. Proverbs 18:10 puts it this way. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. The Lord is a strong fortress. He wants us to be safe. But to do that, we have to go into the fortress. We have to submit ourselves to his leadership and his authority. We have to live under his teachings and his guidelines. And they're written for us in the Bible. The first place that I start for wisdom is in the Bible, seeking his wisdom day in and day out by reading his word daily. And it's amazing to me how each day something new will pop out, speak into my heart and say, there's your answer to that question about which job to take. There's that answer about who you need to call and mentor. There's that answer coming out of scripture. James 1. Now if you got your Bible, this is a good one to turn to. Page 1019 of the Burgundy. This is one to underline because I actually pray this almost daily. It's on page 1019. James 1. 5 and 6. It says this. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. God wants to give you wisdom. The Bible says if you lack it, ask him for it. Whenever someone asks me to pray for a decision with them, one of my prayers is, Lord, we lack wisdom. We need yours. Lord, you know the past, present, and future. Therefore, Lord, we want what you want more than what we want. And so if you're making a business decision, if you're making a family decision, if you're making a dating decision, if you're making a school decision, are you praying and asking God for wisdom in making that decision. Because he wants to give it to you. It says right here, he will give it to you generously. But you got to be willing to let him speak into your life about that. You got to be willing to receive it for him to give it. And for me, when I pray for people, I pray with the opinion of, Lord, I need your wisdom. And I'll tell you that for you to receive God's wisdom, you've got to humble yourself and admit that you don't have the right answer every time. And admit that you need somebody else's wisdom. And you got to keep your eyes and ears open. Because sometimes God's wisdom will come from the place you expect it least. It might come from your child saying something to you. It might come from a peer saying something to you. Sometimes I've received wisdom from folks that don't even know the Lord, and they say something that's like, wow, why didn't I think of that? I know the Bible, and what they just said agrees with it, and it agrees with where I'm at, and I didn't even think that. Because the Lord can use multiple sources to give wisdom. So at the bottom of your listening guide, I want you to jot these things down. If you are seeking wisdom for a better tomorrow, here's four things, almost like how I do it in order. Okay? First, seek wise counsel. And when I say wise counsel, I mean seek Christian counsel. Seek someone that believes in God and that God is a part of the equation. So seek wise counsel. Second, search the Bible. Search the Bible yourself for stories like Rehoboam, where God could speak into you out of the truth of the Word of God. Search the Bible. Third, consider circumstances. You know, small things like three U-Haul dealerships that say the exact same thing. You know, just those random circumstances like that might happen. I was talking to somebody the other day, and this wasn't the other day. This was, I don't know, over a year ago. And we were praying for them for a job. And as we prayed for that job, they called me up and they said, hey, my uncle called and said he's looking for somebody. He wanted to know if I'd come work for him. What do you think? I was like, wait a minute. We just prayed for you a job. This sounds like God's offering you a job. Well, yeah, but it's going to be long hours or this or that. I'm like, bro, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. You pray and all of a sudden, how often does your uncle call and offer you a job? Well, he's never done that before. Hello? Anybody home? Sometimes we pray and we ask for something and then the Lord offers it to us and we don't even recognize it because we don't believe he's going to send it to us. So, circumstances. And then fourth, pray and submit. And you probably want to underline that word, submit. Because when the Spirit of God begins speaking to you, there will be a natural resistance in your flesh to say no. Because oftentimes God will tell you to do something that works against man's ideas. So, for example, when I was in seminary, I went out to California to go to seminary. Immediately, I needed a job to pay bills. And I started praying about where the Lord wanted me to serve. And I had two youth pastor opportunities pop up. One was at a large church that paid real money. Like if I took that job, I'd work 25 hours a week with them and I would make enough to pay for all my seminary. And it was like, wow, that's like a real job. The other was at a small church that was an hour away that was gonna pay me $100 a week. And it was gonna cost me $3 to cross the Golden Gate Bridge, about $30 in gas a week. And I had to stay there Friday night through Sunday night. I was like, well, that's a no-brainer, God. Clearly, you would want me to take the larger church with more students where I could have a greater influence and make more money. That's got to be your plan. And as I prayed about it, the Lord just kept prompting my heart, saying, no, it's this church. And it took me a while because sometimes, as you heard earlier, I'm not always quick to listen. But thankfully, the more I prayed, the more the Lord made it clear that even though this other one looked so much better, this was the one that he wanted me to take. And I took that church, thankfully. And I went there, and for 3 years, I had the worst experience of my life. It was horrible. Every Sunday night, I drove home from church begging God to let me quit. Every Sunday night, I was like, Lord, I don't even know if the pastors are Christian. I'm serious. And I would pour my life into the students, and then they literally would come to me and say, Steve, we understand what you're saying, but when we come to church on Sunday morning, it makes no sense to us. We don't want to go. And I was like, this guy's working against you, Lord. I didn't pray for his death, but I did pray for his removal. And the Lord never answered that. And I would pray and say, Lord, can I please quit? And the Lord would say, no. And I didn't understand because it didn't make sense in the flesh. You fast forward. And what I learned from that experience has been invaluable to me today because it's taught me so much about leadership. Because what I saw in that church was so unhealthy that it made me dig into the Word of God and say, Lord, what is it that you want? Who is it that you want the pastor to be? What kind of character is important? And as I dug in and I sought the face of God, then the Lord gave me a burden for that city. And my wife and I ended up moving back and planting a new church there. That wasn't my plan. My plan was to be all somewhere in foreign missions and serving God overseas. But the Lord had to take me there to break my heart for those people. And so what I'm saying is, you may be praying and the answer you may be getting may be one that you don't like, and so you're not trying to listen to it. You keep waiting for God to send you the better opportunity, and he's saying, no, it's right here. But you're saying, well, Lord, I don't want that opportunity. It's not what's best for me. And he's going, I know it's what's best for everybody else. You see, God doesn't always answer your prayers for what's best for you. Sometimes he answers your prayers for what's best for everybody else. And he wants to use you to be the light in their darkness. It's not always popular. I don't always like it. But every time I look back when God has shown me what he wanted and I walked in it, I was grateful in the long run because of what it did in other people's lives and in mine. So what is God speaking to your heart about today? Is there a decision that you're wrestling with? Is there something that you've been trying to figure out, Lord, do you want me to do this or do that? Do you want me to take this job or that job? Do you want me in this relationship or not in this relationship? Do you want me to persevere at work, or do you want me to look for another employment? Do you want me to reach out one more time to my aunt or my uncle or my son or my daughter and try to help them through this journey? Or do you want me to have tough love and let them fall on their face? As you're trying to figure that out, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. Walk through these steps. Get wisdom from others. Get wisdom from the Word. Look for circumstances that he's trying to show you things and insights. And then marinate it in prayer. And yes, sometimes it takes prayer and fasting. Where you choose to miss a meal or two or three or four so that you can hear a little bit more clearer the hungrier you get. What is God speaking to you about today? If you would bow your head with me. Some in here today, you're wrestling with a big decision. And you need God to make it clear. And he says, if you ask for wisdom, he will give it to you. So listen, that's one of the things when I pray, I literally say, God, you promised that if I ask for wisdom, you'll give it to me. So you just call him out. You just humble yourself. Say, Lord, I will do what you tell me if you will make it clear. And when he does, walk in it. There may be others that are here today. It may be the Lord's been making it clear that he wants you to become a Christian. That he wants you to ask forgiveness for the things you've done wrong in your past. And you've been arguing with him. You think you're good enough. You think that going to church is all it takes. You think that you're smart enough to know how to make it happen yourself. But I just want you to know today that there's a point where you have to submit to God and declare him as Lord and Savior and follow him. If you've never done that and God's telling you to do that now, then I want to invite you to pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself, following after me. Dear God, today I want to listen and follow your wisdom. I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. Please forgive me for the times I've ignored your wisdom. Today, I give you my all. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.